Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation Friday edition. We're playing the U.S. Navy song, at least the ex-U.S. Navy song. I guess the new one would be something else. I don't know what it might be. The new U.S. Navy doesn't believe in firing a shot. The new U.S. Navy under Barack Hussein Obama believes in hailing and querying. That is right. They are going to send a ship to monitor a North Korean ship that may be carrying a nuclear weapon or nuclear weapons or nuclear material. And because Obama is a pacifist socialist on the order of Neville Chamberlain, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said that the most the U.S. Navy is prepared to do is hail and query. Now, hail and query means, I guess, they pull up to the North Korean ship and say, "Ahoy! What might you be carrying, North Korean madmen?" Then, of course, the North Koreans can laugh at them and go on their merry way, because the U.S. wouldn't, of course, intercept the ship. That would be a violation of the tenets of liberalism, which, as you well know, is a suicidal insanity. We are reliving the 1930s. The problem is the times are more dangerous because of nuclear weapons. The madman in North Korea has threatened to fire a rocket to Hawaii for our July 4th weekend. And our military is fortifying Hawaii with some kind of ground-to-air missile system, a floating missile system. What's interesting to me is that liberals opposed this floating missile defense system when it was being funded and built. They said, we don't need a missile defense system. The liberals said, we don't need Star Wars. The liberals said, we don't need missile defenses. Why, that's just an escalation of tensions between the United States and our adversaries. But wiser men prevailed, and the missile defenses were engineered and built. And now they're being moved into place to defend the Hawaiian Islands against a potential rocket attack by the madman in North Korea. I would suggest that all the good liberals of Hawaii, of whom I would say 80% of the islands are composed of Democrat socialists who love the welfare state so they can drive around going to the big boys and the tubbies in their large cars and hating the Howley, I suggest that they tell the military to take their ground air missile defenses and shove them, because they're good Obamaites in Hawaii. And the good Obamaites don't need ground to air missile defenses. All they've got to do is go out and wave their flags, wave their white flags of surrender to North Korea. And then, of course, there'll be no problems with North Korea. But certainly you don't want to move in a ground to air missile defense system to Hawaii, because after all, liberals oppose the research. Liberals oppose the funding. Liberals oppose the deployment of such systems. And now they're surprisingly silent in the land that gave us Obama. How is it that the liberals who oppose Star Wars, the liberals who opposed funding and building missile defense systems, are so silent now that they are needed? The answer is that liberalism is not only a mental disorder, but liberalism in its extremities is a dangerous mental disorder. Now you can play rock and roll. Play the one I asked you for. I got it out of my system. Go ahead, play it already. And send me that list of nations, will you? Nations who we're not allowed to travel to. It is the Savage Nation Rock and Roll Friday. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a public relations man whose parents were PR men in Hollywood. I've never seen anything like this. It would be laughable if it wasn't frightening. But it's frightening and therefore not laughable that we have a Navy that won't destroy a North Korean ship with weapons on it. They're just going to pull up and go hail and query. You hear this? And liberals who opposed a missile defense system are now cowering in Hawaii saying, please give us a missile defense system. You evil conservatives who we hate, give us your missile defense system. It's unreal. It's unreal, but it's getting more and more real by the day. Another article up on michaelsavage.com, Obama tied to Bill Ayers at age 11. That's right. We heard about his ties to the radical Bill Ayers in his adulthood, but you don't know about his Sunday school attendance in Hawaii. Read the article. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Obama promised immigration reform to Hispanics today. Immigration reform bill. The guy has bankrupted America, taking a $1 trillion deficit, running it up to $3 trillion. And now he wants health care reform for another trillion. And what the heck? Let's throw in immigration amnesty for 30 million illegals. What's the difference? What it costs? Because it feels good to grant amnesty to all those nice Hispanics who will vote for me through eternity. Why, they'll make me like Idi Amin, the president for life. Just think about the power Obama could have. Why, with 30 million illegal aliens and all their relatives over the next 5 years, Obama could wipe out term limits. He could be president for life. He doesn't care about you, the American citizen. He cares only about aggrandizing more of a voting bloc. So what the heck? Who do you think that the health care reform is aimed at? Who is it aimed at? You, the hardworking man? Is it aimed at me? No. I pay for my own health care. I pay for my own PPO. It's aimed at those who can't afford it. Now, I would say that maybe they're entitled to a small amount of health care, but not unlimited gold-plated Rolls-Royce health care. Moreover, do you want to support health care for illegal aliens? Because that's what the so-called health care reform bill does. It means anyone who marches into a hospital gets health care, and all of their relatives and all of their children. Is there a citizenship requirement under the Obamacare? No. Be very careful what's happening in front of your eyes. Obama is dismantling the United States of America. He reminds me of the Mad King Ludwig, who almost destroyed Bavaria. I don't think you know the story of the Mad King Ludwig. I once told the story with regard to George Bush, who started to emulate King Ludwig, the Mad King of Bavaria, the Mad Boy King of Bavaria. But it didn't quite apply to George Bush, to the extent that the story of the Mad Boy King of Bavaria applies to Barack Obama. It's frightening to behold what this college professor is doing. And every time I see one of his minions speak on television, I know what trouble we are in and why we're in it. I see fools, ignoramuses, college professors who have never met a payroll. They couldn't run a hot dog stand. They couldn't run a souvlaki stand. They couldn't run a lemonade stand. But they're running the largest economy in the world off a cliff. It's unbelievable to me. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. I am back. I am in business. I am open for your calls. It is open mic to mic Friday, which means you can talk about these topics or anything else that's on your mind, anything that pleases you on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage. Eddie, my love, I love you so.
Start from the top. Being the president is the toughest job in the world, particularly with the pressure groups, the ethnic groups in this country, the various interests that pull in a president. I can't imagine doing that job. Don't get me wrong. It's probably the toughest job in the world and maybe the worst job in the world. I don't know who would take it. Now, when you consider that most people who aspire to politics to begin with are egomaniacs, to an order that you can't even comprehend, you understand the danger we put ourselves in when we turn over the power of the nation to such individuals to begin with. Now, it's one thing to have a narcissistic egomaniac for a president. I wouldn't say he's the first, nor will he be the last. But an incompetent narcissistic egomaniac is the issue here. And I say incompetent because he has not succeeded at anything yet. He has been challenged by Iran, and he failed. challenged by North Korea, and he failed. Wherever he has been challenged, he has failed. I don't understand how you people don't understand the danger you are in. Why do you suppose North Korea is threatening to launch one of their long-range missiles into Hawaiian waters on July 4th? They're doing it to say to Obama, we recognize you're a weakling. We recognize you're a pacifist. We recognize that you'll do nothing about it. And guess what? We're going to take advantage of your weakness. I don't know how you don't see this. On the other hand, or shall I say on the same hand, it's intriguing to me, and I would use the word ironic, but I don't like the word ironic, because A, the word ironic is overused by sophomoric individuals in the media. Secondly, false irony is all it's used in the media, when true irony, which is the toughest form of comedy, is the hardest thing to find in the media today. But putting that aside, the fact of the matter is, isn't it ironic that the liberals who screamed bloody murder and opposed missile defense systems are now cowering behind the missile defense system in Hawaii, built by the Winston Churchills of our country, not by the Neville Chamberlains of our nation, who are now running the country into the ground? Let's take your calls on Rock and Roll Friday. Dennis, Las Vegas, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I'm a retired Navy. I retired 15 years ago. And I saw this coming a long time ago. It really started back when the Navy experienced the tailhook disaster, if you remember, it occurred in Las Vegas.
I know exactly who destroyed the U.S. Navy. She has a name. Her name is Congresswoman Pat. Now, what is her last name? Her last name is Congresswoman Pat Schroeder. She is the one who invented the tailhook scandal. She is the one who scathingly went after the men in the Navy. She is the one who single-handedly tried to rip the Navy to shreds.
Yes, there was an assistant secretary of defense, or it was the Navy. I think her name was Hope. She said, and I quote, it came out of a Secretary Layman's books, one of the books that he had written, that we are going to destroy the white male culture, warrior culture, in our military. And they set out to do that. In 15
well, all
years,
right, take a look at the white males running the Navy today. Take a look at Admiral Mullen. Now, I know he commanded ships, but he's saying the most they can do is hail and query a North Korean ship that might be carrying nukes? That's your idea of a Navy, my friend? I know it isn't. I mean, I'm using it rhetorically. Certainly not my idea of what the Navy was created for. It wasn't created to be floating brothels and nurseries.
That's exactly what they've become. Admiral Nimitz, Arleigh Burke, and Halsey, and Spruitz, and others are probably rolling over in their graves right now.
Well, I went aboard an aircraft carrier several, 2 to 3 years ago. I was impressed with the young men flying the F-A-18 Hornets. They're the most skilled men in America. I was astounded at their daring and their brains. But when I walked along the corridors of the ship, I thought I was in an inner-city high school. I must tell you, and I've taught in inner-city high schools, I thought I was in a high school, not on a U.S. Navy ship.
That's exactly correct. When I back in the Clinton administration, they downsized the military and they flushed out as many white males as they could, and at the same time they flooded the services with minorities, women and gays.
That's correct. So, in other words, affirmative action has destroyed the ability of the Navy to defend America. That's what you're saying in a nutshell.
Project.
That's what I see. That's how I see it. I don't care if people like it or not. This is a reality. It's why we're impotent as a nation.
It was a reality for us because we had substandard performers, and we graded them fairly and objectively, but because they were minorities, all they had to do was raise the R flag or the red or flash the red card, and the captains would be shaking in their boots, and they would totally overturn the chain of command and give them flying color recommendations on and the recommendations for.
Yeah, well, there's a new way to spell anchors away today. It's not anchors away, W-E-I-G-H. It's anchors away, A-W-A-Y. Thanks for the call. I mean, I just wanted to observe it because I'm a real hero of the Navy. I mean, I love the Navy. They'll put it that way. They're all heroes to me when I was a kid. The naval aviators of World War II who won the war in the Pacific. And, you know, every mission they went on, virtually every mission was a suicide mission. I love you say, oh, the Japanese had kamikaze pilots and our men didn't. Every mission from an aircraft carrier during 5 to 6 major battles in the Pacific were suicide missions by our men. Every one of them knew they wouldn't be, they guessed they wouldn't be coming back. But that's left out of your history books. Because after all, they were all heroes and they were all white males. To the 99th percentile, the Navy was white males. Now, there were, in fact, great black pilots in the Tuskegee Airmen. In fact, one of my neighbors was a member of the Tuskegee Airmen. But that's not the issue right now. The issue is not about race. The issue is about mental policy. And the mental policy of the military right now is one of pacifism and socialism. It's a repeat of the 1930s. In the 30s, of course, you had Hitler aggressing on the world, and you had liberal socialists in America arguing against any kind of military intervention, constantly trying to talk to Hitler. Constantly, Hitler was moving ahead, saying that's the last move he was going to make. Constantly, the liberals would say that's as far as he's going to go. And for the horror that followed, thank God we had a Winston Churchill in England who went ahead with building the Spitfire. Had Churchill not fought the liberals in England, who did not want to build the Spitfire, the Brits would have lost the Battle of Britain, and Britain would have fallen in the hands of the Nazis, and that would have been the end of Europe. Maybe the whole war, maybe the whole world. It was only a few men, mainly men from the elite universities of England, incidentally, who were the flyers in that time. Today, of course, they're interested in other pursuits. They're not interested in joining the Royal Air Force or the Royal Navy. They're joining... interested in joining a royal something or other. But in those days, it was considered part of the noblesse oblige of the boys who went to Oxford and the boys who went to Cambridge to join the British Navy, to join the British military. It was actually a requirement of their social class to do so. And it was only a few of them who fended off the planes, the ME-109s and the bombers. Was it not for them, Britain would have fallen. Now look what's happened to Britain. Exactly what happened to Britain as a world power is happening to the United States right in front of your eyes. And you say, did it start with Obama? No, but it's going to end with Obama unless it's reversed. Did you hear what I said? Didn't start with Obama, but unless it's reversed, it's going to end with Obama. And it's not going to go out with a whimper. We're going to go out with a bang. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
We intend to vigorously enforce the United Nations Security Council Resolution 1874 to include options to include certainly a hail and query. If a vessel like this is queried and doesn't allow a permissive search to direct it to go into a port, and that the country of that port is required to inspect the vessel.
Can you believe this? This is Chairman Joint Chiefs of Staff Admiral Michael Mullen, nice-looking man, wears a nice pressed uniform, saying that if the Korean ship is hailed and queried and then told to go into a port, it will do so. I don't believe this world I'm living in. This is what Obama has wrought. Listen to clip 30.
The United Nations Security Council resolution does not include an option for an opposed boarding or a non-compliant boarding with respect to that. And if we get to that point, with a vessel that we suspect has material which is counter to unauthorized in accordance with UNSCR, that's a report that goes back to the United Nations.
Do you believe this guy? A report that goes back? How in the world are we going to survive as a nation with this man as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? We're all in danger of dying. A report to the UN, you hear this? So you were fearing all your life the blue helmets. Guess what? They're running your country. And the Chinese are running your currency. And Henry Kissinger is running your country. And George Soros is running your country. And you're running from where? You're running from Peter to pay Paul.
1-800-449-8255.
MichaelSavage.com. Virginia Sarita, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thanks for having me on. I was just calling to say I agree with the majority of what you are saying. I am an African-American female, And I'm one of those people who I'm sad to say who voted for Obama. I was listening to so much of what he was saying, but never stopped like a lot of Americans did and asked the question, how are you going to do this, which was so important. And he didn't want to answer those questions anyway, but if we had asked that, we would have known that. You know, he didn't want to answer the how.
He didn't answer it because he didn't know how, and now they're doing it on the fly. They're making it up as they go along. How can they pay for all these things? They can't, but it doesn't stop them from their agenda. How in the world are we going to pay for this? Impossible to pay for it. But let's put aside health care. Let's look at national security. Do you feel safer under Obama or more threatened under Obama than you did under George Bush?
Well, I don't trust anybody with my life anymore, you know, because people are very self-serving. Very self-serving. And if it...
I accept that, but I feel much, much more at risk than I did under Bush. That's all I can tell you. San Diego, John, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, basically, I'm hearing all this talk about on your show for the past number of weeks. Obama's a Marxist. Obama's a socialist. He's going to ruin the economy. He's taking over all the industries. And I find this to be a great exaggeration because Barack Obama is a self...
Wait, hold on. Wait, let's take each statement that you claim I made, which I did, one at a time. You're saying he made the economy healthier?
Well, he's just fixing the mistakes that Bush made.
Wait a minute. Well, please don't try that high school level rubbish on me. He inherited a $1 trillion deficit, and he wants to run it to $3 trillion. So let's deal with reality. Even his own party is balking at it.
I think that you're just trying to twist everything.
Why are you laughing? Are you laughing because you're lying and I caught you lying, or you're laughing because you don't know what I just said? Is your idea of fixing a $1 trillion deficit, making it into $3 trillion, that's your idea of balancing a budget?
I think you're inflating numbers, and I think you're twisting around.
I'm not inflating the numbers. These are reality numbers. These are numbers that everyone has published who understands economics. Read the Wall Street Journal. Read the Financial Times. I don't think you read those big papers because they have three-syllable words in them.
It's a right.
I mean, other than the Democrat talking points that you get daily on your fax machine, because I don't think you do email yet, John, where do you get your information from?
Well, where do I get my information from? I check all throughout the...
Get out of here. Don't even call me anymore. You lower the IQ of the whole show just by calling. Do me a favor. Never call the show again. Just by calling it, you make me tired. Stupid idiot. Moron reading the talking points they fax you. That's all you do. Gallup poll, Obama job approval slips to 58% for first time, lowest reading thus far. Just the beginning. My prediction is within 4 years, the man is seen as the biggest failure in the history of the presidency. When you all catch on to the fact that A, you've been hoodwinked, B, he's an incompetent, and C, he messed everything up that he touched. That's if we're still here. It's unbelievable to me. His own party is turning on him because they know they're going to be fired. The blue, I started to conclude on this on Wednesday. I had to go for an EKG yesterday. Okay, something happened. I really don't want to dwell on it because it starts to get self-serving. But on Wednesday, I closed the show on talking about the so-called blue something Democrats. I forget what they call them. Blue what? Blue nose? Blue dog. Blue, everything blue. I have a Bluetooth in my car. I don't know how to plug it in. It's in the glove box for 2 years. I don't know what a Bluetooth is. So, anyway, Blue Dog Democrats, conservatives, they know that they're going to be fired. They come from the Corn Belt. The ones who voted for Obama come from the Porn Belt. And the Porn Belt people still support Obama, obviously. But those in the Corn Belt, the Deems, the Dimwits in the Corn Belt, are starting to wake up to the fact that their own constituency, although overly fed and over-medicated, they still know the difference between going bankrupt on an express train and going bankrupt on a slow train. What now? What's next? What's the next big topic? To me, the big one is the Navy's impotence. It's beyond comprehension. So we move anti-missile equipment into Hawaii, and the liberals who oppose the creation of the anti-missile system are suddenly dead silent as they go about collecting their government checks and hating Republicans. Hating conservatives, hating the military. Oh, yes, bring in the anti-missile shield, which we opposed. Navy destroyer moves to intercept North Korean vessel, says Drudge. But you heard on my show they're not going to intercept it. according to our Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman, they're going to hail it, hail and query it. Ahoy! Have you any nuclear material or any contraband? No, dummy, we have no such thing. Okay, bye-bye. Have a nice trip. That's the U.S. Navy today. I told you how it was created. It was created to protect merchant ships. They took the toughest roustabouts they could find on the waterfront, ne'er-do-wells who would be in prison today with tattoos all over their body. In other words, the toughest men in society, the most castaway men in society were put aboard the Navy ships. The ones that you find in Pelican Bay today, murderers, hard murderers afraid of nobody, were put on the Navy ships. They were given a cutlass, a gun, and a leather neck. So when the pirates, the Muslim pirates who they were fighting, tried to slash their neck with a cutlass, the leather neck around their neck prevented them from having their heads cut off by and large. And that's how the Navy was born. Now let's go fast forward from the type of people who were originally used in the Navy to today. Go aboard a ship. It looks like a high school combined with a brothel. I'll be right back. It would have been a good break. What would you like to talk about? I got mail again. You know they do an EKG now in 15 seconds. I couldn't believe it. I went in for a little. I thought it would be forever. They plug you in 15 seconds. It came out. Nothing happened. Thank God, nothing. I mean, there was no damage. I had an incident during the show on Wednesday where I went off the air for 15 minutes. I may as well level with you, okay, because I told you what's going to happen with this show. I told you how it's going to go, and this is it. I'm not going to talk about it. The hemorrhoid with ears does that. I don't. But, you know, I have an obligation to tell you. I told you I will probably do this show until you hear this sound, and then it'll be dead air. That's going to be the sound of the microphone falling over because I'm committed to this program. I'm committed to saving America, and I'm committed to this audience. You and I are like one. I mean, I feel so connected to my audience. I feel lost without you. And so I have so much to report on every day and to get you understanding what we're living through. So I'm going to do it. So anyway, the point is, meanwhile, I'm getting older. You get older, things happen. So I was on the show Wednesday. I got very excited with a caller, which if you'll notice my show, I've not done for a long time. I generally don't raise my voice. I don't scream. I don't yell. I don't get my blood pressure way up. I can handle things without doing it. But he got me angry because he came up with a lie with the PhD. And I worked so hard for my degree, overcoming every obstacle imaginable. I don't like people making things up like that, that I got angry at him. And shortly thereafter, I felt a shooting pain in my neck from like my shoulder to my ear. And I don't mean an ache. I'm talking about a real like an electrocution in the neck. So I said, you know what? I know that, coronary heart disease can take many different forms. I watched my father. I watched him go through the stages and he died young. So I said, okay, look, at a certain age, everyone has atherosclerosis. I don't care who you are. I don't care what diet you're on. I don't care what pills you're on. I don't care how you've lived. You could have lived like a Mongolian beekeeper. You still have atherosclerosis after a certain age. In fact, if you look at Egyptian mummies, they all had atherosclerosis, even if they died at 85. So if you have atherosclerosis, you have a family history, and you have a pain like that, you say, uh-oh. So I didn't want to go in, blah, blah, blah. I finished the show because the show must go on. I took Thursday off. I went into the doctor, did the EKG, nothing, no sign of anything. All right, that's all. I just wanted you to know it. But meanwhile, it leaves you with a certain thought about mortality and vulnerability and the fact that time is limited. Time is marching on. You have to decide, what do you want to do every day with this gift called the microphone? I joke around a lot, as you well know, because I have fundamentally a good nature and a humorous nature. But we're living in very dangerous times and very serious times. And so I feel obligated. I could have taken today off with the Father's Day, thing and just blown off the weekend. But I mean, the world is in a mess right now. You've got the Iranian democracy movement begging for U.S., even a word, a nod. And the college professor, the pacifist socialist, looks the other way and stabs them in the back, puts a shiv in their back. Not only that, but he and Hillary Clinton cut off all funding to the pro-democracy movement in Iran. You didn't read about that in your local Obama rag, did you? You know, most of you who voted for him suffer a disease called Obama Derangement Syndrome, ODS, only you don't know it. I'll be right back.
Mambo, Mambo. Italiano, hey, hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano, go, go, go. You mixed up a Siciliano, all you Calabrese.
Can you take that off? That is the corniest song I've ever heard in my life. It smells like oregano to me. And I'm not in the mood for oregano. I have a headache. Sunday is Father's Day. My family's up. We're going to go out on the boat. We're going to go down, we're going to go across the bay, we're going to go down the estuary, we're going to dock, we're going to go in a restaurant, they let Teddy in, the owners are friendly. Last time I was there 2 years ago, I didn't know the owner, I'm not going to tell you the name of it, I didn't know the owner, he was the nicest guy in the world, he came out with a tureen of water for the dog, so I'm going back to his restaurant. I like dog-friendly owners. Well, if you have an outdoor deck, they usually let you bring a dog. Mine is friendly, so. And they're going to be nice, you know, eight people or so. What more do you want to do for Father's Day? You want to parachute out of a plane? Good luck to you. Go do it. That's all. Sounds like a nice day to me. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. There's no trick to it. Quiet is good. Quiet is good. What are you doing for Father's Day? Anyone want to call on that? Want to talk about the news, views, and reviews? Oh, I saw a good movie. I did want to talk about a movie, actually. Yesterday, on my day off, I did something very exciting. I pulled the curtains and watched a movie in the late afternoon. I listened to my replay show for an hour, making sure everything was in order. And then I pulled the curtains, got in bed, and watched Turner Classic Movies. They had Jules and Jim by Truffaut. Now, I probably didn't see it in the 60s. I figured, you know, one of those artsy-fartsy movies. I didn't want to watch it. But the more I watched it, the more I became drawn into it. It was so well written, and it was so well acted, and the plot was about love. And the individual seeking perfect, you know, a perfect love and romance. And there's some incredible, I don't know if you know this movie, Jules and Jim. There's so many shockingly amazing things in it. Anyway, I don't want to tell you the whole plot. It's about two guys in their 20s. They love each other. In the sense of manly love, which was once allowed in America, till everyone became frightened to love another man without becoming gay. But they loved each other as men. They became like brothers. And they dated different women, and they had a wonderful time. They went to boxing clubs together. And they were just the kind of friendship you may have had as a little boy, like truly on that level. Anyway, they're dating all sorts of beautiful women in Paris in the periods of 1912. Which I happen to love, the sets are beautiful. So anyway, they fall in love sort of with the same woman, and it creates a love triangle, but they don't hate each other for it. She's a real uncontrollable free spirit, if you want to call her that. Today we'd call her something else. And, you know, nothing stops her. And if she thinks a guy cheated on her, she'll cheat on him. If she thinks a guy slighted her in some way, she'll do the Shakespearean and slight him one better. And they both respect her for it. They're both enamored of her. And so anyway, World War I appears. And some of the documentary footage they included from World War I trench fighting was so, I've never seen it in my life. I've seen, you know, footage on History Channel of World War I and the trench warfare. But the World War I trench warfare footage that is inserted into this romantic story in Jules and Jim is so overwhelmingly awesome that it's worth seeing for that reason alone, to see that men, millions of men died for nothing for the egos of old farts who went to war over nothing. You know, World War I was fought over nothing. You know that. I don't know if you study the history of World War I. World War I was not only fought for nothing, it led to World War II because Germany was debased as a result of war reparations, and that led to Hitler. It led to the collapse of the German economy. It led to Hitler, and it led to World War II. So it just shows you how horrible war is. But the point I'm making is they both survived the war, and their only fear in their letters during World War I is that they're going to accidentally kill the other guy because one winds up on the side of Germany, the other winds up on the side of France. I guess it's a little bit of an anti-war movie, but in that regard, so what? You know what I'm saying? War should be avoided at all costs. But when you have North Korea, to get back to reality, threatening you with nuclear weapons, threatening to launch a rocket against Hawaii, it's not a time to avoid war. It's a time to take down their ship and sink it and tell the UN to go screw themselves. Tell the degenerates and pads down in North Korea when Bush was in power. But Bush already started us on the road to disaster. his former defense secretary, or Mr. Perry, who was a former defense secretary, said, we could have blown up Kim Jong-il's launch pads while he was building them. You know what's amazing to me? The very week that Kim Jong-il is threatening the world with nuclear weapons, sword rattling, what's her name? The former Secretary of State, that incompetent boob, moron, egomaniac, Madeleine Albright, the Secretary of State under Clinton, comes up with a PR stunt about her cooking and appears on MSNBC about her cooking. The same week, Henry Kissinger appears on Fox News in a friendly, grandfatherly appearance. Do you know why? Am I the only one in the media who has a memory to comprehend why Kissinger and Albright would suddenly appear in these friendly, grandfatherly, grandmotherly roles the very week Kim Jong-il is threatening the world with nuclear weapons? The answer is because they enabled him. I'm the only one in the media who understands Madeleine Albright enabled Kim Jong-il. Henry Kissinger enabled Kim Jong-il. But you don't even have any idea how much you need Michael Savage. Because of my acute observations and my acute historical knowledge and my acute ability to put two and two together, I'm the only one in the media who sees right through it all. If you think you're living in a free society, think again. You're living in a society that is 24/7 propaganda controlled by three or four men. Three or four men control everything that you see, everything you read, everything you hear. Three or four men control it. So when North Korea threatens the West with nuclear weapons, two of the people whose names might have popped up as having enabled him, Madeleine Albright and Henry Kissinger, suddenly appear out of nowhere. She with a cooking show, and he with some grandfatherly double talk in the half-European double talk mumbo-jumbo, without anyone saying to them, wait a minute, isn't it you who enabled this to happen, Hank? And by the way, Madeleine, wasn't it you who went to a big bar mitzvah in North Korea and talked about how wonderful it was, and you sat there lording it over the 30,000 slaves who danced for you? No one said that to them in the media. You ought to bless
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It's amazing to me what Obama's getting away with. Amazing to me. He inherits a $1 trillion deficit from George Bush. And to fix it, he turns it into a $3 trillion deficit and growing by the day. Not bad enough he's pushing socialized medicine, which is allegedly going to cost a trillion, which means 10 trillion. What, do you have any idea what it'll cost when every bum in America can go as unlimited amount of times to doctors? Walking around like cripples, everybody, day and night, medic. That's what caught Cuba. I studied the history of Cuba under Fidel Castro. I met communists when I was young. That's all I talked about was healthcare. Fidel Castro, healthcare. It's the cornerstone of any communist revolution is a healthcare socialized system, a socialized healthcare system. It is the founding stone of a communist regime to offer free medical care for all. It sounds very noble. But have you visited the hospitals and the dispensaries in Cuba? Do you have any idea what medical care was like in the Soviet Union before the wall came down? when medical care was allegedly available to all, would any of you have elected to receive Soviet-era medical care? Because that's what Obama is going to bring you. Now, a day later now, he's talking about granting amnesty to illegal aliens today before the Hispanics. If this man is not out of control mentally, I'd like to know who is. Why is he pushing such an agenda so rapidly when we can't afford any of it? You have to ask yourself these questions. Then ask another question. You have, let's take California, Texas, Illinois, New York, Florida. The states are all bankrupt. Has one governor in any of these states talked about cutting back services to illegal aliens who are not entitled to them? Has one governor said, you know what, we can't afford it anymore? It's not the 80s. We're no longer rich. We can't give them everything they want. Go home or we're going to deport you, whatever. Not one governor will mention the I word. It makes you wonder if they're not owned by the immigrant lobbying groups. It makes you wonder who runs the country. It makes you wonder if the governors are not owned by the illegal aliens' representatives, because they certainly are not representing the citizens. Miami, Florida. Chris, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mike, you finally put into words the way I feel about you. You said that you're going to be lost without us. We're going to be lost without you. I'm going to be, and I'm sure I'm speaking for many of you listeners.
Well, I'm not leaving yet. I'm just saying that the day is going to come, you know. I'm telling you. It's going to end, and it may end suddenly. We don't know anything. None of us do. I don't want to be overly dramatic, but who knows what tomorrow is, right?
That's right. That's why I want you to know that today.
Well, you know what? I feel that kind of, I don't want to use the word that's overused, but I feel the warmth. Let's put it to you that way, Chris.
You do. Because I feel
the warmth, and I want to thank you for it. It's the only warmth left in the world. We're living in a very strange world. All love seems to have gone out of the world. It's a frightening thing to behold, a society like this where it is so craven, where people only use people. If I could tell you what I'd really like to tell you about donations a certain person made and the kind of letters he got back, form letters, and he'll never give another red cent to anybody. If I could ever tell you the kind of world that you're living in, I maybe you know it. Maybe you don't know it. Maybe you do know it. But here it is. I could have done a four-day weekend. I think it's going to rain altogether. I got to go on the website, the weather site. It probably is going to drizzle out here. Not that you care. It's muggy. It's never muggy in San Francisco. I love people say they live here for the weather. So that's worth 10% state tax? Is it the weather and broken roads and illegal aliens and tattoos in your soup? I don't know that it's worth it anymore. I'll take bad weather. Some states are starting to look a lot better to me than this hellhole. Run into the ground. When I came here, it was the Golden State. It's no longer the Golden State under Schwarzenegger and the illegals. The illegals have destroyed the state of California. They've sucked it dry like lemmings. They've sucked it dry. Free medical, free schooling, knocking out babies like tasty bread. What do you want me to say? It's not true. What do you think, I'm blind? You think they're going to rein me in? You think that those people on the left are going to scare me into not telling you what's real? I'm never going to stop. God will stop me, not you. Go walk around and see who's having the babies in the state of California. 14-year-old gangbanger children are knocking them out like tasty bread. Each one of them is a golden reward with state money and services for a 14-year-old having babies, 3-4 of them in a carriage. Go to a mall and see they don't work. With 15-year-old punk boyfriends walking around with their sleeves rolled up. That's the state you're living in. And you wonder why you're broke. Go blame everybody. Blame the white male who makes the money in the state. Go ahead. Blame the white male who makes all the money in the state for bankrupting the state. Go ahead. Wait till you see what you have when they all leave. When you tax them to death, they run out of here. See what you have left. See who's going to support you. Where's the weather? I was looking at the weather. I got this sidetracked here. I said I wouldn't get excited. I shouldn't have come in. I'm in a sweat and I'm angry again. I never saw anything like this. Two of my principal ideas today will be stolen by Monday. As sure as I'm sitting in the hemorrhoid with ears. Fortunately for me, he's not on yet anymore today. He already did the chopstick job. Two of my ideas are so brilliant and so new that they'll be on the air Monday. I can guarantee it. Which two ideas have I laid out today that are so totally original that the hemorrhoid with the chopsticks will steal them on Monday? If you can get that answer, you get a free copy of Psychological Nudity delivered to you not in time for Father's Day. You know, I didn't even sell a book to you for Father's Day. Everyone knows. I don't know what they're so desperate. They make so much money. And every day, go to my website, buy my slippers, buy my floor mat. How can the corned beef guy, how can the leprechaun be so hungry for a buck? Isn't he embarrassed to go on the air every day for a buck and peddle things like that? Doesn't it make you sick? I'm embarrassed to even tell you to buy my book. It's humiliating to ask you to contribute to the defense fund. I'm backing it off. I'm embarrassed by it. These people have no shame. In the name of America, in the name of the flag and God and the Holy Ghost, go buy my floor mat. And while you're at it, buy my book and buy my shoes and buy my toupee. I can't buy my loofah. I never saw anything like this guy. How much money do they need? Hungry, greedy, a nightmare. A nightmare. So anyway, as I sang before, I did. There were two good ideas today, two brand new ones. And I have to remember them myself. One was that Kissinger and Albright came out this week with grandfatherly and grandmotherly appearances on cable shows to show that they're nice. The very week Kim Jong-il was threatening the world with nuclear weapons and moving a ship and going to fire a rocket to Hawaii. Why did they do it, you say to yourself? How all of a sudden does she come back and he? Why all of a sudden is old Kissinger taking time out from his money-making and his shuttle diplomacy for the Swiss bank account? Why is he stopping the Swiss bank account cash flow all of a sudden to go on with a twinkly eye to Big Thigh? Why is he going on with twinkly eyes and sitting in front of Big Thigh? Why? And where'd she come up with the cooking that she can cook all of a sudden? The answer is because they enabled Kim Jong-il, both of them. That was one insight. The other insight was that they're moving a missile defense shield to Hawaii, and the liberals who opposed the funding, the development, and the deployment are now hiding underneath the missile defense shield that's being moved into Hawaii. How come the liberals don't say, take it away, we don't want it? Take your ugly missile defense shield away from Hawaii, we don't want it. We'll face the Taipan Dong 2 missile. We'd rather be blown to smithereens than admit we were wrong about needing a missile defense shield. If the hemorrhoid with ears doesn't use this on Monday, I'd be shocked. I'll be right back.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you get my name. Oh, yeah. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my name. Oh, yeah. Get down in it.
Scientists. Ill-wishers, they try to make believe in those media that there is a fight between supporters of the Islamic establishment and the opposition. No, that's not true. They have no right to say that. That's not true. The four presidential contenders who entered the election race, they all
are you listening to the Hitler's Ayatollah saying the Zionists are portraying the opposition movement in Iran as being opposed to the Ayatollah? I don't think you have any idea that Hitler is alive and well. He's come back and he's living in Iran. Hitler is living in Iran and he's supported this time by religious fanatics. And not one word from the anti-Christian zealots in America. Not one word from the false idols of liberalism about the Hitler of our time. It's astounding to me that the so-called liberals, who have such a bleeding heart for everything on earth, have no bleeding heart for the poor people of Iran who are trying to free themselves of these throwback destitute, these throwback mullahs. Again, the Zionists, again. Hitler had the same words, only he didn't use the word Zionist, he used the word Jews. Now, the liberals use the word Zionist as their boogeyman as well. And I'll remind you until you finally search for it and find it that Martin Luther King Jr. himself gave a speech in which he said, make no mistake about it. Anyone who says they're an anti-Zionist is anti-Jewish. Martin Luther King Jr. said that. So he saw what was coming with regard to the liberals of America, because the radical left in America and the radical Islamic folks are almost one and the same in their philosophy of overthrowing Western democracy. So there it is. I mean, look, I mean, things are terrible right now. We have our own president who's a weak college professor, goes on a hate America tour. a Blame America tour, gets on his hands and knees in front of the Saudi king, and you don't notice this? You aren't embarrassed by him bowing to the king and accepting a gold necklace, making him look like an entertainer instead of a president? I couldn't believe my eyes. It's like the king has no clothes. It's unbelievable to me. Wherever he went, he said, we're no good and we're wrong and you're wonderful. The Islamic world is wonderful. When has the Islamic world been wonderful to women? Where in the world are you living? What world are you living in? How can you let this president of ours get away with such rubbish? Well, it's all going to come to a head very soon. Where and when, we don't know. We have ideas, we have inklings, but we don't really know. Let's move on. Houston, Texas, Scott, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Savage. I just wanted to ask a quick question. What do you think it's going to take for Obama to actually step up and defend this country when stuff starts hitting the fan, you know?
I don't know if he's capable of it. He sat in a hate America church for 20 years to the point that I really, to this day, don't know if he's not playing for the other side. You want me to level it with you? I don't know. Do you know that they withdrew the money for the pro-democracy movement in Iran at the same time this week when he said it's not our business to meddle in Iran?
That's crazy.
Do you have any idea what he's saying here? Is that by saying he doesn't want to meddle in Iran, he's saying I support the Ayatollah? I mean, which side is he on? You have to ask yourself. When he goes to Saudi Arabia and genuflex before the king, which side is he on? When he goes to Turkey and goes in a mosque, takes his shoes off, and makes a big show of that, and apologizes to the so-called whole world, including this case, the Muslim world, for the crimes against the Muslim world by America. What side is he on, this guy?
Well, when the American people start getting hungry, that's when stuff's really going to start.
Well, you're right about that. I don't think we ever will get hungry. That's an interesting statement that you made. Truthfully, I think it's very, very true, Scott. When I was an 18-year-old, I looked around. You know, I was just politically very naive. I looked around and I started to study. And the more I studied revolutions, the more I realized there are no revolutions without starvation, without hunger and starvation. That as long as a population is fed like, you know, cattle, and they can jam their heads with porno and entertainment, and that Moloch can continue to feed you stories about sluts in Hollywood, and you're overfed with that garbage, you're not going to really care about what's going on. As long as you can stuff your pie hole with hot dogs and pie and, junk food, you know, there's going to never be any kind of real, you know, you're basically like a cow. They could put a stick, you know, in your backside and you'll move along. That's all. I don't know. So let's hope we never get to the point of starvation in this great country of ours. We know it happened in ex-Rhodesia with the same kind of philosophy that we're seeing enacted here on a slower scale, where to make up for the injustices of the past, the farms were taken from the white farmers and given to black farmers. After all, it was an injustice that the white farmers should have the land in Zimbabwe. So Mugabe gave the land to the black farmers. And a nation that was once a food exporting nation called Zimbabwe eventually became a nation that could not only not feed itself, it's now out on the world stage with begging cups, begging the world to send it food. So don't say it can't happen here. Government policies have destroyed agriculture in other nations. The government policies of the early Bolsheviks, the communists in Russia, destroyed the peasantry in Russia. And the peasants were unable to supply, to feed the country of Russia because of the Soviet collective farms. You don't understand, but before there was a Soviet revolution, a communist revolution, the farms were not collectivized. And the Soviet Union was able to feed itself. But because of the Bolsheviks, the communists, the farms became a collective enterprise. In other words, it was socialized farming along the lines of socialized medicine, along the lines of socialized General Motors, along the lines of socialized banks, along the lines of socialized Wall Street. And then when agriculture was socialized and run by morons in the government of Russia, the people starved to death. They starved to death because of it, because the government couldn't run the agriculture as well as individuals did. Now we have a president intent on a Soviet style healthcare plan, Sovietizing the financial worlds, Sovietizing the auto industry, and you sit here like a big moron eating a hot dog, like everything's the same. You have a man in only a few months who has fundamentally taken a wrecking ball to the entire nation. And every day, another speech by Obama. Every day, another big story about Obama.
Savage.
How about Iran? You were quoted in the papers back in March when you met with the foreign minister of the UAE that you were skeptical of the possibility that diplomacy would work to stall or stop Iran's nuclear ambitions. Are you still that doubtful?
Well, I am someone who's going to wait and see.
My hope is that the regime responds not with violence, but with a recognition that the universal principles of peaceful expression and democracy are ones that should be affirmed. Am I optimistic that that will happen? You know, I take a wait-and-see approach.
Well, I'm not. Look, that's what they're announcing. We have to accept that for the time being. But there's an awful lot of question about how this election was run. And we'll see. I mean, we're just waiting to see.
We like the rest of the world, are waiting and watching to see what the Iranian people decide.
You know, I take a wait-and-see approach.
Well, I am someone who's going to wait and see. Waiting and watching to see.
We'll see. I mean, we're just waiting to see.
We intend to vigorously enforce the United Nations
Now, let's pause account. Right there. We have a government that may as well be run by Izvestia or Pravda, where there is zero initiative, zero independence in the administration. They are all clones of Obama's head. They all say, wait and see. You heard it, Biden, Obama, Hillary, wait and see, wait and see, wait and see, like parrots. And now we have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff who even says, not only is he going to wait and see, but they're going to hail and query. Listen to this one.
We intend to vigorously enforce the United Nations Security Council Resolution 1874 to include options to include certainly a hail and query.
All right, there it is. A Hail Mary. You may as well say we're going to do a Hail Mary because we're no longer able to be Navy men. We have a social obligation to our young men and women aboard the ships to make certain that they can get pregnant and get full benefits and get full clothing and medical allowance while in the Navy and then go home and raise the baby and have more of them. But we have no obligation to the American people to defend them against a missile launch. That we have no obligation. So I'm looking at the world from my perspective. Pardon me if you don't agree with me. I can't help it if you're part of the brainwashed generation who doesn't know history. You ought to thank God that you have me to listen to. You ought to thank God there's at least a few people left in America who know reality. You ought to thank God that you don't have just your friends to listen to, or you all wind up with a ring in your nose and slaves. Sacramento, Sunia, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I just wanted to say that for me, you are essentially the catalyst in the allegory of the cave. I was once one of the many sheeple running around the country, not having any idea what's going on. And I started listening to you about 4 years ago, and you have literally changed my life. And I believe you are the embodiment of American exceptionalism. And to hear you today talk about how you are committed to the show, I can't tell you how much it moved me. Just from the fact that I know the struggles that you're experiencing, some of what you've talked about on the radio. And I just want to let you know that we are listening out here.
No, I know. Look, I mean, I get my only support I get is from my listeners. The truth is I'm still twisting in the wind. The United Kingdom has not altered their position. I'm still awaiting a letter from Prime Minister Brown, although I don't think it's going to say anything new. And I'm going to have to make a decision very shortly that I will inform my donors about, and we'll make some decisions together jointly on that. But I'm alone here in the world. I'm alone. No one has come to my aid. Nobody in the conservative media and radio has come to my aid, really. And I don't want to sit here like Mr. Victim. I have to live by my words, and I have to fall by my words. That's all. And if you don't care about free speech, there's nothing I could do about it. If you think free speech only applies to polite speech, then you don't belong living in America. You should go live in the ex-Soviet Union or Syria or Iran, where only polite speech is allowed. Right now, what you're witnessing in Iran is free speech. They're screaming things about Ahmadinejad, about the mullahs, and they're soon going to die for it. Some of them have already died for it. Fortunately, in America, we don't die from opposing our leadership, comma, yet, period. But I don't put anything past Obama, nor his minions. I think we're in for some very dangerous changes in this country's freedoms, and I see it coming. His approval ratings are slipping and sliding. Obama job approval slips to 58% for the first time. And remember, he's only been in business for less than 6 months. A new low for Obama in Gallup tracking, and that's from June 16th to the 18th. Now, why do you suppose Obama's approval rating is slipping in the Gallup poll? Why? Why all of a sudden has it gone from 68%, 69% to 58% in the last week? Why? Why do you think his approval rate, what do you think is doing it? Why? They say the latest decline in Obama's approval score to 58% results from a drop in approval among political independents as well as among Republicans. Now, Democrats, of course, who suffer from Obama derangement syndrome, remain as highly in love with the president as ever. But let's forget them. They're not important. They're going to remain in love with him even if he does the worst thing imaginable. The people to look at are not even the Republicans. It's the independents. The independents are who put him in power, the ones who were brainwashed and went across the aisle. Normally they would have voted for a conservative or a reasonable Republican. Instead, they ran the old hack McCain, who did the worst campaign in history. So what's going on here? Why do you think it's happening amongst the independents? Why is that? Tell me what's happening. What do you think if you're an independent? Republican approval is now down to 21%. Independent approval down to 53%. Why is his approval now dipped to a new low for his presidency? They say it's not clear what's behind the decline in his approval, but two issues have received it. One, the president received bad news on health care reform from the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, whose estimate of the cost of a reform plan caused sticker shock on Capitol Hill. Okay, so the people are starting to wake up. At the same time, the disputed Iranian presidential election has been front page news, and Obama's supine response has obviously disheartened many independents. They see weakness in Obama. They see a pacifist, and they're frightened. I think there are other factors involved, but that's my own opinion. I'm giving you only the Gallup poll, which is consistently a centrist poll, you know, going back from when it began. Dan in San Francisco, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good afternoon, Michael. Brother Michael, you got to take it easy. From one biblical name to another, you got to hang in there, brother. You got the neck thing, you scared me for a while, but, you know, I laughed a little bit when you said that because I had the same thing happen to me last week. And it's just a stress thing. It has nothing to do with the EKG.
Right. But it felt vascular when it went from the bottom of my neck to my ear during a show when I got really angry. You know, coronary disease, a heart attack can occur in many different ways. It can be shooting pains in your arms. You know, it could be pains in your neck. You don't know what it is. So if you're in a certain age, you gotta. I didn't run to a hospital, okay? But the next day, after a long night of thinking about it, I figured, let's rule it out anyway. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You know, I was watching this thing, if I could talk about something else. I was watching something last night, I think it was, and I guess I'll use her name. MSNBC reporter Rachel Maddow from the failed...
She's not long for the media. She's pathetic. She's a woman who thinks that all she has to do is act like a college chick doing ironic things, rolling her eyes and saying very, very, very ironic things to other super ironic people is what's going to get her ratings. So what did she do last night?
Yeah, I was watching this interview here. I think it was on Charlie Rose. And so Charlie, you know, had to ask her the question about Iran. And she hemmed and hawed. Oh, God, she just...
Well, he asked her about irony or about Iran? Iran or Iran?
Yeah, both.
Charlie Rose is a waste of time. Why do you waste your time with that jerk?
Yeah,
schmuck. Yeah, man, Charlie Rose. Big deal. He may as well work in vaudeville. Thanks for the call. Take it easy. I don't know what take it easy means. Oh, I hear a helicopter over my studio. Maybe the black helicopters are coming to get me. Whoa. That's damn low. Hi, guys. How are you? My soundproof studio. Can you hear it? Listen to this.
Oh, my God. They're landing in the field.
They're little green men.
No, I'm joking. I don't know what they're doing here. Wow. They're looking for Savage's radio studio in the mountains. Blue helmets. green men with blue helmets. Oh, Lordy. What else? That movie, Jules and Jim. I got, could talk about a movie or something. There are very few good movies around, so that was... thank God for Turner Classic Movies. At least Ted Turner gave the world something good. And Charles, who's the guy, is it on it? Oh, who does it? The guy is terrific. The host, Charles. I almost used the wrong name. The older guy with the gray hair with the nice suit, the double-breasted suit. He comes out before the movie. Does anyone know his name? Don't guess now the wrong name. It's give me a cue ball. Someone knows who he is. Jackie Mason? It's not Jackie Mason. It looks like Jackie Mason's straight brother. so the doctor, listen to this. I got to tell you, I go to the doctor for, you know, the thing. So as I'm walking up to the clinic door, there's like a ramp. An older guy with gray hair, thin as a rail, on a thin bicycle, jumps ahead of me, like pushes in, opens the door, slams it open, rushes in. So I was going to say something. I said, all right, let something go by. I mean, let this go by. It doesn't matter. You're in a doctor's office. You need an argument here, too? Just let it go. I have to tell myself. And I see he zips into the doctor's side of the building. He was one of the doctors. So I said, all right, it's a good thing I didn't say anything, because God knows one day he could be over me with the knife. So later on, I'm in the office with the other doctor, very nice guy. And I say to him, by the way, there was a very thin gray-bearded doctor on a bicycle. I said, is he one of the cardiologists? He said, yes. I said, well, he apparently practiced what he preaches. I said, he's very thin, and he bicycles. He said, oh, yeah, he really does it. So I said, let me ask you something off the record. I said, how old is he? Is he about my age? I said, I know you can't. He said, no, he's exactly your age. I said, well, why does he look 20 years older than me if he's on such a perfect diet and bicycles so much and he's so fanatic? And we started to talk, and I laughed. I said, you got to understand. I said, years ago, when I first got my PhD in nutrition, and I was a zealot and vegetarian and running and weighed 130, and my cholesterol was 100. I had the cholesterol of, I said to you, like a Ugandan beekeeper. Perfect, but I was near death from stress and exhaustion. And at that time, a lot of guys were dropping dead in their 30s, runners, and dropping dead. So I backed way off because I heard a voice screaming. I used to run up to a waterfall every day. I didn't want to, you know, die when the kids were young. You know, the 30s are the worst age for a father if they have when you just have children, because you're afraid you're going to leave them and blah, blah, blah. A lot of guys have cardioneurosis in their 30s. Every minute looking, everything in their neck, in the car, they think it's over. They get into a sweat with the slightest quirk in their bodies. A nation of fright. Anyways, I used to run up the hill every day to the waterfall. And one day, I heard a voice in my head. Call it a psychotic break if you want. It started screaming at me, stop running, you fool. Stop running, you fool. It wasn't outside my head. It was in my head. I stopped running, you fool. I never ran again. I never ran again. I still think running is one of the most harmful exercises on the planet. Now, I know many of you run and you disagree with me. I bicycle every day. I think bicycling is not the same impact on a body. But anyway, the long and short of it is I realize you can only be so fanatic, and then the stress of fanaticism and worrying is going to kill you as fast as, you know, eating wrong will or whatever. Then there was the famous case of Jim Fix, if you remember the 80s. He was a famous long-distance runner, and he did not believe that food had anything to do with atherosclerosis. He said, if you run and you exercise, that's going to flush your system out. He dropped dead on a Vermont road, a blowout, and he wasn't old. So what I'm getting at is it's not either or. It's not one system or the other. It's a balance. You've got to understand that you could only control your diet up to a certain point, after which that point is at a diminishing returns in terms of a lifestyle that's going to be worth living. And remember that the object in eating food is not solely nutritional, it's also to enjoy it. You can't treat yourself like a lab rat, in other words. You got to learn to enjoy food as well, you know. And then, of course, with vitamins, I have been on major, massive doses of Linus Pauling's vitamin C and the Shoot Brothers vitamin E and mega vitamins for 35 years, and I know they work. all of the frauds in medicine who have run science studies which have disproven the validity of vitamin C are all working for the drug companies. They all did fallacious studies that use either too low a dosage of vitamin C to have any nutritional or medical effect, and they used a limited amount of tocopherol, again in a low dose, that's vitamin E, and they only used D-alpha tocopherol instead of mixed tocopherols, therefore trying to prove that vitamins have no effect. They're liars and they're criminals as far as I'm concerned, because all the evidence is to the contrary from legitimate researchers, most of whom have disappeared from the medical world with the advent of the medical pharmaceutical establishment. Then there's coenzyme Q. Then there are, you know, fish oils. And if you're taking these, God, please don't listen to the quacks. Please don't listen to the drug peddlers. They're necessary at a certain point in your health, for sure. They're not all bad. They all don't mean harm. They shouldn't all be demonized. But don't throw away all of the geniuses in nutritional medicine who preceded them. They were great men. They're all gone, and there's no one to talk about it anymore. But I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you a whole picture. So I'm getting back to one last point, and I'll take a break. So this doctor who does everything, it looks to me, fanatically. He's thin, but he looks 20 years older than me. I can guarantee you he has a perfect cholesterol, and I hope he lives to the age of Moses. I don't mean in any way any kind of derogatory statement. It's a more generalized point, which is, so what if you have a little bit of weight on you? So what if your cholesterol is slightly elevated? That's not the be-all and end-all of cardiovascular health. It's a giant sale. There are many other factors involved, in my opinion. I'll be back.
Mama said there'll be days like this. There'll be days like this. Mama said.
Mama said. Mama said.
Mama said there'll be days like this. There'll be days like
this. I'm as short in this hour. Let's go quickly to the next caller right here on the Savage Nation in Monterey, California. John, welcome to the program.
Michael Savage, thank you for taking my call. I so appreciate that. First of all, I just want to thank you for great radio, and that is a rare thing these days. I want to thank you for your direct and your undiluted delivery of information that the American people absolutely need to hear, or as you say, on a daily basis, we're going to lose this country. Michael, you and I talked
about we are losing the country. After 8 years of Clinton and Bush, we have almost lost the country. 8 years of the deception of Clinton and Bush, and look who we have now. I want to read you something, and I thank you for the compliments. I have only 2 minutes left in this hour. Since it's Friday, and many religious people either go to temple or church over the weekend, I want to read you from Jeremiah. Maybe I'll do a biblical passage every second hour every Friday. It's a short one from my favorite prophet, Jeremiah, because it's on the positive side. Listen to what he said. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by injustice, that useth his neighbor's service without wages and giveth him not his hire. That say, I will build me a white house and spacious chambers and cutteth them out windows, and it is sealed with cedar and painted with vermilion. Shall you reign because you strive to excel in cedar? Did your father not eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Well, then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and needy, then it was well. Is not this to know me, said the Lord? But your eyes and your heart are not but for thy covetousness, and for shedding innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it. See, now that's positive. That's the Bible. That's positive. That's the positive stuff. Giving you what's the right thing to do, rather what's the wrong thing to do. But we all know this. We all know this. Now compare that with the mullahs of Iran, where everything they say and everything they do is wrong and evil. There is not one word that comes out of their mouth that is good. Everything that comes out of their mouth is evil. And yet the so-called liberal establishment in the world says nothing to support the pro-democracy movement in Iran, and that includes their hero, Barack Hussein Obama. And that is because liberals are, in this case, blinded by their own desires to prove themselves right. They will never admit they were wrong. Unlike the independent Michael Savage, who reluctantly voted for George Bush twice and reluctantly voted for him twice and reluctantly supported him and all along the way criticized him. What you have to understand is that no politician should be trusted. None. No politician should be trusted. It doesn't matter whether they're an R or a D or an I. They're all human beings subject to the same vicissitudes and the same evils. Trust none of them.
Savage.
Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Michael Savage, and what a week it's been. Very eventful in regard to America's standing in the world and Barack Obama's limp, globalist, conciliatory, pacifist approach to the rest of the world. Last week's sham elections in Iran and Obama's weak-kneed response to the violent protests in Iran made me so frustrated that I had to talk about the world through a frying pan. If you have an open heart and an open mind, you can see the world through a raindrop. I saw it through a frying pan because I went, well, let me back up a bit. I got fed up with eating out. I can't take it. It's not the restaurants. It's not the owners. It's not the food. I realized why I don't like restaurants. It's listening to other people talk. My problem is that I cannot tune things out. My problem is I'm in the radio business and I have very sharp ears. My problem is that I actually hear what people are saying. My problem is I hear the conversations coming from other tables and I lose my ability to eat. So I decided to start cooking at home again.
Savage.
As the protest heated up in Iran, I had to speak about them in depth, which I did on Tuesday. You know, the people in Iran are actually freer than we are here. I've been thinking about this. Many of us understand in our guts that Obama was elected because of two things. One, a compliant media. Two, millions of illegal aliens voting for him who had no right to vote. And three, maybe millions of people who were not even alive were voting many times through Acorn's pressures. There should have been protests in America. There should have been millions of people in the streets demanding a recount, demanding that Acorn be investigated. But do you know that in Iran they have an opposition party, the Democracy Movement? We don't even have an opposition party in this country called the Republicans anymore. Why? How many years have I told you it's a one-party system? You have lost this democracy. You had lost it long before I began a radio. It's long been a one-party system. Democrats, Republicans. 8 years, the Republicans raped the Treasury. They didn't want it anymore. So they ran the doofus McCain. Every time he surged in the polls, he said, oh, don't vote for me, basically. Don't vote for me. Vote for Obama, basically. He had every opportunity to win, but the Republicans had gotten through raping the Treasury. And the way the game works is Team B then gets to rape the Treasury for 8 more years. So they didn't want to win. There should have been massive protests. Acorn, illegal alien votes. So as I say, it seems to me there's more freedom in Iran right now.
Savage.
Also, I had to point out the perversion of the media and the acceptance of slurs against children and women by the midstream media in general, as exemplified by that old bum David Letterman's disgusting comments about Sarah Palin's children.
Maybe you know about it, maybe you don't know about it, but there was a joke that I told, and I thought I was telling it about the older daughter being at Yankee Stadium. And it was kind of a coarse joke. There's no getting around it. But I never thought it was anybody other than the older daughter. And before the show, I checked to make sure, in fact, that she is of legal age, 18. Yeah, but the joke really, in and of itself,
still a rape joke, you swine ball.
Each time I see a little girl of 5 or 6 or 7, I can't resist the joyous urge to smile and say thank heaven for little girls.
Well, here's one tune that Letterman's not humming today.
Little girls get bigger every day.
Yep, old Davy boy. Heaven. Time to go home and tinker with your vacuum cleaner. From a five-letter man to a zero-letter man in one vile slur. What do you mean you thought it was about the 18-year-old daughter, not the 14-year-old daughter? You still made a rape joke. You know, don't you understand how disconnected these liberals are from reality? You mean it would have been okay to make a joke about Palin's 18-year-old daughter being raped by a ball player in the stands, but it's not okay to make the same joke about the 14-year-old daughter? This guy is so disconnected from reality, which we all know, which is why they use the guys with ugly eyeglasses to write the jokes for them in the back room. I guess they don't even read them in advance anymore.
Savage.
And who could forget that this week the great Obama swatted a fly, causing the media to swoon and Peter to throw a fit.
Hey, get out of here.
That's the most persistent fly I've ever seen. Nice.
Now, where were we?
All right, that was get the picture. Here's the president killing a fly with the microcephalics in our media slavishly worshiping him. This is while North Korea threatens nuclear war. This is while Iran is killing protesters. This is while our currency is melting down and being devalued. The microcephalics at CNBC, MSNBC, and NBC. By the way, they are the worst, and there's a reason for it. I don't think you know what went on, but it was reported about a month ago or 6 weeks ago before the story was buried that the owner, the parent company of NBC, which is General Electric, was fundamentally bought off by Obama. Apparently, the CEO of General Electric, Immelt, did a deal through the Obama administration where General Electric gets, it was reported, $1 trillion in these sort of soft energy projects around the world. And, of course, there's no quid pro quo. We know that. But we think there's a quid pro quo, particularly if you put microcephalics in charge of the media entities, and they then laud the president for even swatting a fly.
Savage.
Later in the week, I had to discuss my feeling about America's hail and query response to a North Korean vessel. Can you hear this? Hail and query. Play the clip.
We intend to vigorously enforce the United Nations Security Council Resolution 1874 to include options to include certainly a hail and query. If a vessel like this is queried and doesn't allow a permissive search to direct it to go into a port, and that the country of that port is required to inspect the vessel.
Can you believe this? This is Chairman, Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Michael Mullen. Nice-looking man, wears a nice pressed uniform, saying that if the Korean ship is hailed and queried and then told to go into a port, it will do so. America's Navy has been reduced to not shooting down an enemy ship carrying nuclear weapons, but to come up and go, hail! May we come aboard? What have you? This is all in relation to a North Korean vessel that could be carrying illicit weapons, that could be carrying nuclear-related arms. What it most certainly is carrying is a threat to the region and an intentional provocation of the United States of America. I don't believe this world I'm living in. This is what Obama has wrought. Listen to clip 30.
The United Nations Security Council resolution does not include an option for an opposed boarding or a non-compliant boarding with respect to that. And if we get to that point with a vessel that we suspect has material which is counter to unauthorized in accordance with UNSCR, that's a report that goes back to the United Nations.
Do you believe this guy? A report that goes back? How in the world are we going to survive as a nation with this man as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? We're all in danger of dying. A report to the UN, you hear this? So you were fearing all your life the blue helmets. Guess what? They're running your country. And the Chinese are running your currency. And Henry Kissinger is running your country. And George Soros is running your country. And you're running from where? You're running from Peter to pay Paul. I'll be right back. That means my canoe is big. Nui ko'u wa'a. Nui kawa'o ko'u makuakane. That means my father's canoe is big. I once lived on Rolling Sweet Potato Hill in Honolulu. I love the language. People think it's a primitive language. It's anything but. I'm no expert, but I don't think you know how many words there are in the Hawaiian language itself. You know, you laugh about it with the ukulele. You know how many words? 26,000, did I say before? 26,000 Hawaiian entries in the Pukui and Elbert Dictionary. Amazing. 26,000 Hawaiian entries in the Pukui Dictionary. That's pretty amazing. And yet, if you look at the average text message today, or let us say the entire galaxy of words used in text messaging, and even in America, a highly advanced nation, so to speak, you think that we're using 26,000 words? You think we're using 2,600 words in the entire vocabulary of text messaging? You think we're using 260 different words? It's very minimal. And what I'm saying is we're devolving. That's what I'm trying to make that point. You say, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. I'm just telling you what's going on. That's how a man like Obama, the diminished president, can diminish the presidency like this. Because of text messaging and emailing. People didn't even know what he was. They confused him with an actual diplomat, a genius. 1-800-449-8255, New York City. WOR. Tom, welcome to the program.
Michael Savage, the Archangel of America, we all love you because you always work your hardest, and we know that you'll never become a jihadist.
How long did it take you to come up with that little couplet?
I've held it aside for a while, Michael. You're a tough
man. That is good. Come on, Tom. We know you work your hardest, and we know you'll never become a jihadist. That's beautiful. And is that still legal? Is that still legal to say in America? Because Obama just went to the country of jihad and didn't mention the word. He didn't even say the word terrorism.
You're fighting for us, Michael. You're keeping that speech legal.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Thanks for that very, very much. Yeah, he didn't say the word terrorism or terrorist once. I guess he said anger. Oh, Lord. God sees the truth but waits. Why is he waiting so long? Wish he'd come down already and straighten it all out. What if God just showed up and said, all right, look, I've had enough of this. I've waited long enough. You guys don't know what you're doing. Now shut up, everybody. Here's what's going on. Okay? Connecticut, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, your word paintings, as I like to call them, when you're free thinking, are fantastic. I'm a painter. I'm a visual artist. And I would call your word skills as finely crafted abstract art. I'm a realist. I can't do abstract art. I do everything realistically. When you speak from the heart the way you talk, I get visions in my head, and I could paint pictures from that.
You mean like a bluebird on Al Jolson's nose?
Absolutely. Listen to a little Coltrane, and I could see where Jackson Pollock, could throw paint around and get into it because...
But you called because you disagree with me on evolution, though. Although we agree in principle, you disagree with me on the evolutionary statement that the pelicans were once pterodactyls, I believe.
Actually, my point was I wasn't disagreeing, but I was saying it's a little more... you could expand on that because some species didn't change. Crocodiles, turtles, there's a couple others that actually...
Well, I want to cut to the chase because we've had this discussion before, and since you're a friendly caller, I'm going to say it again. When it says God created the earth in 7 days and seven nights, it was explained on this show by a religious scholar that a day to God is not a day to man, that a day could be 10 million years and it could mean 70 million years. So that's just something, you can look into. All right, here's what's on michaelsavage.com. I mean, the top story is the United States Navy has been reduced to hail and query under Obama. It's frightening to see the pacifist, socialist leadership we have under these college professors. Not shoot down the North Korean ship carrying nuclear weapons in defiance of a UN ban. Not board the ship, but hail them and ask them, hi there, North Korean madmen. What might you be carrying? It's not kimchi, is it? On the right side, suitcase with $134 billion puts the dollar on edge. What's it about? Well, $134 billion worth of counterfeit U.S. bonds could undermine our currency. This is what's going on under Obama. Read the coverage of Britain's ban on Michael Savage, all now in one convenient box on michaelsavage.com. And you could still buy a copy of Psychological Nudity only on my website. The United States Navy has sent a something or other, a missile defense system to Hawaii to meet the threat from Korea. Gee, isn't this the same missile defense system that the liberals said we didn't need? Isn't this the same missile defense system that the libs mocked as Star Wars? What about all the liberals in Hawaii? Maybe they don't need this missile defense system. After all, it was created by mean, nasty, evil conservatives. From the New York Post, we have so much for the change Obama espouses. And that's, of course, his disappointment in Professor Obama's limp-wristed reaction to the Iranians' search for freedom in the form of the fascist dictator that they are opposing. Obama had nothing to say. From the Washington Times, outspoken Republican Rep. Michelle Bachmann says she's so worried that information from next year's national census will be abused, that she will refuse to fill out anything more than the number of people in her household in the next census. She also fears the Acorn thugs, who she feels could be delivering the census and forcing people to answer questions. From the New York Daily News, children taking ADHD drugs risk sudden cardiac death. Isn't that amazing? I've been warning you against ADD, ADHD. I've been warning you against Ritalin. I've been warning you against all of these drugs since 1982. I wrote Healing Children Naturally to help young mothers and young fathers understand that there are alternatives to toxic, potent, killing chemicals. And once again, unfortunately, I am right. If you missed it this week by Don Fetter on the left side of MichaelSavage.com, you must read Savage Blasts Neo-Marxist Media for the Neo-Marxist President, and Don Fetter caught me on that. He's 100% right. I'm right. From the New York Times, another Obama nominee, another one who failed to file taxes for 2 years. But what the heck? It's just an oversight. And finally, on the bottom of MichaelSavage.com, we see that Che Guevara's granddaughter is going to appear in a PETA campaign. That's interesting because her grandfather, Ernesto Che Guevara, was a mass murderer, and she's at the forefront of another revolution for vegetarianism. Now, how does that work? Wait a minute. Hitler was a vegetarian. Interesting.
Savage.
Eddie, my love, I love you so.
Start from the top. Being the president is the toughest job in the world, particularly with the pressure groups, the ethnic groups in this country, the various interests that pull in a president. I can't imagine doing that job. Don't get me wrong. It's probably the toughest job in the world and maybe the worst job in the world. I don't know who would take it. Now, when you consider that most people who aspire to politics to begin with are egomaniacs, to an order that you can't even comprehend, you understand the danger we put ourselves in when we turn over the power of the nation to such individuals to begin with. Now, it's one thing to have a narcissistic egomaniac for a president. I wouldn't say he's the first, nor will he be the last. But an incompetent narcissistic egomaniac is the issue here. And I say incompetent because he has not succeeded at anything yet. He has been challenged by Iran, and he failed. Challenged by North Korea, and he failed. Wherever he has been challenged, he has failed. I don't understand how you people don't understand the danger you are in. Why do you suppose North Korea is threatening to launch one of their long-range missiles into Hawaiian waters on July 4th? They're doing it to say to Obama, we recognize you're a weakling. We recognize you're a pacifist. We recognize that you'll do nothing about it. And guess what? We're going to take advantage of your weakness. I don't know how you don't see this. On the other hand, or shall I say on the same hand, it's intriguing to me, and I would use the word ironic, but I don't like the word ironic, because A, the word ironic is overused by sophomoric individuals in the media. Secondly, false irony is all that's used in the media, when true irony, which is the toughest form of comedy, is the hardest thing to find in the media today. But putting that aside, the fact of the matter is, isn't it ironic that the liberals who screamed bloody murder and opposed missile defense systems are now cowering behind a missile defense system in Hawaii built by the Winston Churchills of our country, not by the Neville Chamberlains of our nation, who are now running the country into the ground. Let's take your calls on Rock and Roll Friday. Dennis, Las Vegas, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I'm a retired Navy. I retired 15 years ago. And I saw this coming a long time ago. It really started back when the Navy experienced the tailhook disaster, if you remember, it occurred in Las Vegas.
I know exactly who destroyed the U.S. Navy. She has a name. Her name is Congresswoman Pat. Now, what is her last name? Her last name is Congresswoman Pat Schroeder. She is the one who invented the tailhook scandal. She is the one who scathingly went after the men in the Navy. She is the one who single-handedly tried to rip the Navy to shreds.
Yes, there was an assistant secretary of defense, or it was the Navy. I think her name was Hope. She said, and I quote, it came out of a Secretary Layman's books, one of the books that he had written, that we are going to destroy the white male culture, warrior culture, in our military. And they set out to do that. In 15
well, all right,
years,
take a look at the white males running the Navy today. Take a look at Admiral Mullen. Now, I know he commanded ships. But he's saying the most they can do is hail and query a North Korean ship that might be carrying nukes? That's your idea of a Navy, my friend? I know it isn't. I mean, I'm using it rhetorically. Certainly not my idea of what the Navy was created for. It wasn't created to be floating brothels and nurseries. That's all. All right, let's move on. I was on my bicycle, and I went into a local department store to look for some exercise clothes, which nobody sells anymore. I have no idea why. Nordstrom doesn't, Macy's doesn't. Nobody sells them anymore. And as I was leaving, a young man dashed out to follow me, and he said, I just wanted to thank you for what you've done for the U.S. Marines. Turned around and looked at him. I saw a perfectly fit young white male. Man looked like he could take on anybody in a cage fight. Nicest guy in the world. And I said to him, how do you know about that? He said, I'm a U.S. Marine just back. I'm a helicopter pilot. I'll let it go with that. And he said, we really love you for what you've done for the Marines. I said, you know what I did for Colonel Chesani? He said, yes, we do. We all do. I said, well, thank you. You're the real heroes, and someone's got to stand up for you. And I told him why I thought George Bush did not lift the case against Colonel Chesani and the other Marines who Bush persecuted. I said, the reason Bush persecuted the U.S. Marines with innumerable court-martials, in my opinion, was to make certain that you guys who are trained to defend us don't do a good job at it, to make certain that some knucklehead in Washington, D.C. decides what goes on the ground in the battlefield itself. They wanted to take away command and control from the field and send it back to some moron in Washington, D.C. All I can say is this young man who was actually there flying helicopters shook his head, and he said, Dr. Savage, we all love you in the U.S. Marines. I want to say, well, it's a mutual love. That's all I can say. So what would you like to talk about? I mean, GM, what is it you're going to say? What are you going to say? What are you going to say that we don't already know? That Obama's busting out one of America's great companies like a sporting goods store in The Sopranos? You think there's going to be anything left at the end of the day? You think these idiots are going to make a car that you're going to want to buy? Well, it's been tried before. Another socialist dictator tried to make a car, and we'll be telling you about that, from the actual man who ran the car company for the dictator. It's called What I Learned as a Car Czar. It's an article that appeared in the Wall Street Journal and is written by the man who actually ran the car industry for the Romanian dictator who decided he wanted to have a car industry. This man ran it, and he said, in the land of the blind, a one-eyed man is king. This is the land of the blind, but many of you don't even know you're blind. Many of you are deaf, dumb, and blind, and you have no idea that you're deaf, dumb, and blind, because you've been blindsided by your government media complex. Talking about GM, Korea, cars, my case in England, George Orwell, Winston Churchill, you name it. Oh, yes, and one other thing. Living well is the best revenge. Yeah, England has become the nanny state that Winston Churchill warned them about, with cameras on every street corner that could see into a person's you-know-what, with speech codes, with hate codes. And we're not too far behind with our socialist Labor Party under Barack Hussein Obama, which is why I'm eating more meat than I've eaten in a long time. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with it? Well, for one, living well is the best revenge, and I realize I'm not going to live forever. Since I've been on a restricted diet for 30, 35 years, high doses of vitamin C, et cetera, and low-fat diet, and I've been, you know, healthy as a result, I decided now is the time to go back to what I was raised on. So let me give you an example. Last night, I had a bolognese sauce, which is a meat sauce, at Aliotto's. It was the best meat sauce I've ever had in my life. Maybe it's because I don't eat a lot of meat. I don't know. I just sitting there, the fish, da-da-da. The fish looked good, but I've had so much fish I could swim. I just said, you know what, let me have the bolognese sauce on ziti. And it was just, you know, it was like perfect. So today, I said, oh, I was guilty. Because it tasted so good. I slept like a baby. Today for lunch, I got a sausage and pepper sandwich and french fries. I'm eating like a truck driver who doesn't know any better. I mean, this is the kind of food that I grew up on. Who knew? Who knew that sausage and pepper sandwiches would kill a man after a number of years? Who knew that, you know, meats, heavy meats? I didn't know any of that. As I, you know, got older and went to college, I tried to figure out why my father died young. And, you know, we picked up what was learned, and you learn to modify your diet, exercise, vitamins, and whatnot. And it works. I mean, it's not a mystery anymore. Heart disease is pretty much nailed down. You can't control the genetics of it, but you can control the environmental factors to a large degree, unless you're one of the rare few that can't. And I'm afraid that eventually sausage and pepper sandwiches and meat sauce will be outlawed under this new nanny state of Obama's. After all, I mean, he's a man who works out, and he wants everyone to look good and be trim and feel good and be right. And he wants everybody to be, you know, exercise and be in good shape. It's all very noble, but soon the state will impose it upon you. So as I say, I think you better eat as much bolognese sauce and sausage and peppers and meatball sandwiches as you can before Obama nationalizes the meat industry. Because after all, we've been reading for years that cows cause global warming, climate change. It causes something. Certainly causes cow flop. They change it every few months now because apparently we're in a global cooling phase, so we've been warning you for years. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I don't know if I really want to talk about politics anymore. I am so bored about all of this. So it's when I run into the occasional U.S. Marine that I know why I fight. It's when I run in looking into the eyes of the young men who are actually out in the field of combat that I see the face of America. It's not in the face of the deviant. It's not in the face of the silent vermin who sit and listen to this show and distort my words. They're not the Americans that I fight for. They're not even Americans. They're some kind of sub-creature, some kind of worm that has wormed its way into the apple of America. What would you like to talk about on the Savage Nation? Any topic is fair game. I'm getting calls from Houston, Modesto, Tucson, Virginia, New York, and Kansas City. I want Los Angeles, I want San Francisco, I want Chicago, I want Florida. Let's go to New York, WOR. Mark, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, thank you so much. On Friday, President Obama announced a position in the cabinet for Cyber Czar. And my fear is...
That's right. Well, notice all the word, the czar. What's the czar business? Just the word czar should scare Americans. What's all this czar? That means that they don't that they're not answerable to our Congress. They're only answerable to the dictator-in-chief, Obama.
Well, he hasn't announced the cabinet person yet, but my fear is in, like, China, where the country routinely screens people's emails, that this will be another... computer Gestapo position.
That's exactly right. But listen, the word czar. Why do we need another czar? Why is this person not going to go through the nomination process along the lines of Judge Sotomayor, where we can find out who they are and what they've done in the past? Why should we allow him to appoint another fascist, or a potential fascist, that is, to an office, and that fascist reports only to him? That's the work of a dictator.
It's got to go through
I'm tired of it all. I don't care. Why do I care? I'd rather eat sausage and peppers, that's all, and get a blowout, and it'll be gone. Figure in a couple of hundred years, no one will know anyone. Do you realize that everyone listening to the show will be dead in 100 years? Which is why I'm eating more meat than ever, before it's outlawed and banned, before they ban sausage and pepper sandwiches. I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
I got a whole lot of love for you. True love for you.
I got a whole
song wrote. Right?
I got a whole lot of...
Turn it off. I don't like this song at all. Welcome to the program. I didn't pick it. I don't like it. I'm going to play only things I like because there's memories. That's all. Most people don't like this music anyway to begin with. It's antiquated, old. It's like a 55 Buick Roadmaster. I mean, who would drive a rusty Buick Roadmaster? Nobody. Well, if it's restored, it's another story. Now, look, I've done it already. I'm not going to do it. I need to breeze through this hour. It's Friday. I don't want to give myself a migraine before the weekend. So let's play it. Let me pick a rock and roll tune. Can we talk about anything except politics? Unless there's a great caller. Unless there's some great callers. I don't know. Let's clean the board off here and start all over again. You know, I don't know if I want to do politics now. I want to go into something else. Pig's feet, tripa, whatever. I can't eat tripa. I can't eat it. The idea of eating the guts of another animal, I mean, I can't do it. I told you I did. It's not alien to my culture. My mother ate brains. She ate intestine. I puked when I looked at that stuff. But all right, she ate it. What are you going to do? She lived to 88, so she must have known what she was doing. God bless her. Who could eat brains? I don't get it. Not only that, I mean, it turns out that, you know, you look at all these organ meats. You talk about from a point of view of health. According to our hysteria about cholesterol, they're no-nos because you can't eat liver. High cholesterol, we know that. Even though it's fabulously rich in iron and other minerals that we all need, which explains why many of us are deficient in these nutrients, because we've given up some of the most important parts of the animal, like the liver. You should have liver once in a while, by the way. Forget your Lipitor and your insanity. Okay, have a piece of liver every once in a while. You'll find out that you have more energy than you've had in years. The iron that would run through your system, you finally feel like a man again. You wouldn't need Viagra and you wouldn't need the Lipitor. You'd feel like a human being again with something between your ears. I was going to say something else, but it's a family show. So I wouldn't say go to the brains department. That is, the brains are the most cholesterol-rich organ of the cow. And secondly, you can get Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease from eating uncooked brains. That's something that I don't want to go into, but it's related to the Lou Gehrig's disease, so to speak. That was a part of my PhD dissertation. You don't want to mess around with uncooked brains. We have enough of them in Washington. Not funny. Okay, throwaway line, whatever. Now I want to just drift. I want to cruise through the hour. I want to be like a manatee in the Intracoastal. I want to be like a pelican flying over Boca Raton in a soft wind. I want to be like a bluebird on Al Jolson's nose. You want me to just do word jazz? I'll do word jazz. I just gave you three pieces of word jazz. I could play a tune to those three couplets, couldn't I? Is that like a bluebird on Al Jolson's nose? That's a nice image, right? It's almost a Maiku. That's also funny, that for those of you who know what I just said. Maiku as opposed to haiku. You didn't catch that one? Okay. That was a Maiku, bluebird on Al Jolson's nose, manatee in the Intracoastal. You ever see those pelicans flying over that strip of land in Florida? It's astounding. The pelican is one of my favorite seabirds. They're allegedly they're kind of like green dinosaurs that adapted to the times over millions of years. Now, they were once pterodactyls, and they figured out, okay, that game is over. All right, let's re-engineer ourselves. That should take about 10,000 years. Cut down on the legs, cut down on the body. You don't need all that girth. We're going into a new age. It's pretty bad out there. Meteor hit the earth. Less to eat. So shrink it up, girls. We're going to lose some weight. We're no longer going to be pterodactyls. We're going to be pelicans. That thing about penguins really gets to me. Holding the egg, the father holds the egg, and the mother goes swimming. My God. I'd like to give to a pelican society. Is there a pelican saving group or something? Whale killers, I'd like to personally put on a harpoon myself. I think that we have to stop the whale murderers. I really mean that. It's heartbreaking to let the Japanese and the Norwegians kill those animals. Never mind the clubbing up there by the drunks in Alaska. Yeah, everything is ethnic. It's an ethnic excuse to beat them to death with a club. So, I'm sorry, it's your ethnic right to slaughter a whale. Pardon me. Oh, you're different than everybody else on the world today. Go club seals to death because it's in your culture. Go ahead. Anyone says anything, you're a racist white male. Go beat a seal to death, a little white seal pup with a club. Call yourself a man. Go ahead. Vote for a Democrat. Vote for Al Gore. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I'm getting such beautiful letters. By the way, I want to take a moment now. I finally, folks, all of you who've sent donations to the Savage Defense Fund, I can't thank each of you by name on the show, and I'm sure many of you don't want to be thanked by name on the show. You'd rather remain anonymous. I finally had a list printed up, so I'm getting some feeling of who's sending because I never look at it. And I want to thank each and every one of you individually, but I can't. I'm going to be sending you a letter soon to thank you. That's all I can say. And the certain amongst you, I'm going to get a book. I'm going to send you a book. It's all I can do. It's all I have to give you. I thought about something this today in bed before I got up. I said, you know, the other animals feel. They can be sensitive. They have emotions. They can love. Not perhaps in the same way a human can love, but I'm not so sure of that. In other words, I think my dog loves more purely than a human ever did. If I go out for 10 minutes, he jumps like crazy. He doesn't know it's 10 minutes or 10 years. Crazy, jumping, loving. You know, it's something to behold. It's almost painful in a way to see an animal so attached to you. So, okay, love, they say, is a divine human emotion, and I'm sure it is. But it's not unique to the human animal, okay? It's also seen in the animal world as well. An ape can love, a dog can love, etc. I'm sure many other animals that you get to know can love you. But what does the human being do that lower animals, so to speak, cannot do? Speak, articulate language, and write. And so the thing that distinguishes man from other animals is his use of language, my friends. Think about it. So when we have a society that is so debased by the media, where a rap song is held up to the level of a rhapsody, where Beethoven and a gangbanger are held up in the same level, you understand that we're descending, we're not ascending? Do you understand that we're going backwards, not forwards? Do you understand why when a person sits and text messages or emails all day long, they're actually diminishing their IQ? Do you understand what I'm saying? You're actually devolving as a creature. You're devolving. You are diminishing your capacity to read and to write, let alone to speak. You don't speak on these devices, but you can read and you can write. So when you reduce your writing to hieroglyphics without punctuation, without thinking about tenses, you're actually going back in time, which is why it's a very, very poor prognosis for the future of Western civilization. Savage.